Brad is on the line. Hi, Brad. How you doing?
Hey, Ryan.
Funny that we should be saying Brad's on the line when you've got this fine linesman, Thomas Alva Edison, who used those lines, long lines, wires, to communicate all over the world and successfully create a new paradigm in electricity and its use.
Yep.
So there we were in the early part of the last century, and guys like Edison and Tesla and Marconi, geniuses learning to work with electricity in new ways. And here we are in the new century, at the beginning of a new century, and we have young scientists learning how to use quantum physics and nanotechnology to create a new century of a future and technology for us. Wow, it's almost like in 100 years, we've gone a very long way from electricity being king to shifting to these types of things becoming more priority.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Why?
Because if we're open to it, we can take huge astrophysical steps spiritually if we understand that that's a parallel. I assume we're talking about my article.
Where would you like to start? Quantum Mechanics, Newtonian Physics, and Spiritual Healing, Volume 5. It just gets better.
You think? And how's it getting better for you?
Well, it's getting better because you're going deeper into how science is actually starting to reflect spirituality in this article. Also, some of your viewpoints, your stronger viewpoints, are reflected by movers and shakers in the scientific community, and it's very encouraging because I happen to hold similar viewpoints as you do. For example, your comment, "Wake up and smell the coffee, damn it."
Yeah, you just said something that I want to take issue with.
Sure.
And the issue is that I'm making a parallel. I'm not saying that science is accepting spirituality. I'm saying science might even be mislabeling spirituality.
Well, and it seems that some scientists hold that view too. Because according to your article here, these gentlemen, Baum and Prebram, who are using this model called the holographic paradigm, are suggesting that parapsychological phenomena are scientifically trackable and traceable and measurable, and we just haven't come up with the accurate devices for capturing these things, I'm assuming. But what is the holographic paradigm? Because I stumbled a bit when I got to this paragraph.
Well, you probably didn't stumble as much when you got to the paragraph as I did when I was writing it. Because the only reason I quoted this article, Ryan, was to demonstrate that there is substantial scientific thought that now sees the reality of paranormal and parapsychology, and that it's scientifically, as you, I think you just said, trackable.
It's at least explainable. They can go, if we accept this hypothesis called the holographic paradigm, then parapsychological phenomena is now explainable.
Yeah, and I think they're ready to make that jump. Certainly, my somewhat idol professor at Stanford, in that he teaches scientific stuff in a very delightful way, doesn't help me understand it any better, but at least it's convincing to me that what he's saying is real. He makes the same point about parapsychology and paranormal stuff. I'd rather get off of it and get on to what I've made reference to, for example, something that's in the Bible that Christians just refuse to talk about.
That is?
Thought travel, if you would, being in two places at once, being caught up into a third heaven, having out-of-body experiences and in-body experiences, traveling, you know, in the body and out of the body, and it's they want to just walk away from it because they can't explain it. And all I'm saying here is that science is now giving credence to it.
Right. Oh, so you mean like, for example, John, when he writes the book of Revelation, says he was caught up and shown this stuff at the beginning, doesn't he?
Yeah. I take that as a vision, but whereas when Paul wrote about stuff when he was caught up to the third heaven and, you know, some things he wasn't even allowed to express is what it says. In the original, it's a little bit less dramatic related to the mysterious, if you would. He was just reporting what he saw, and, as I took it. You know. Anyway, my point is, you know, as I said, I'm not touting my book, Leapfrog, but nonetheless, I touched on many things that are discussed obliquely in the Bible that, you know, have been confirmed by science. And to my knowledge, back when I confirmed them by witnessing them, by seeing them, and by taking part in them with many others, you know, I deal with these in fictional process just because I felt it would help some people not get all intellectually tangled up in refusing to believe it, because it's just, quote, fiction. I could sow some seeds. And then all of a sudden, years later, I'm seeing scientists come up with the same conclusions that I arrived at, only they're giving scientific basis, not only just giving mental or intellectual acquiescence to it, they're also proving it with
experience. That's important to the audience you're trying to communicate to in this article, which I'm assuming is your reference, Christians who refuse to see or to be open-minded enough to even discuss these issues. How is this important to them?
Just because so many of them will use as their argument, well, same argument you used to use with me on an early podcast.
Which argument?
The Bible is against me and science is against me. Well, I'm just proving once again that, hey, wait a minute, science is not against what I'm saying, and neither is the Bible against what I'm saying.
Okay.
They're confirmations. And people, if they will look at these things, will have begin to open their minds to seeing just how broad and wide and deep what I call the source really is.
You know, something just crossed my mind. If the whole universe is a hologram, according to this holographic paradigm that science is hypothesizing, you know the old argument about billions of years that the Earth has been around, or recorded history according to, and God created the Earth and heavens and all that's in it within 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. Well, if it's all a holographic image, I guess he could have done that, couldn't he?
Absolutely.
It's quite possible.
But what's more exciting to me is the thesis that time doesn't exist.
Mm.
And I say exciting to me just because you have the creationists or folks of intelligent design persuasion, which to me is all possible. Why should anybody exclude anything? The point I'm making is those who hang on to it can only be creationism, can only be intelligent design, that they won't open their minds to anything else. And by doing that, they're shutting themselves off from probably what is the reality of intelligent design. The reality that a creator did all of it. It's just you don't begin to understand who you're calling a creator. You're trying to put him in a little box, and the creator doesn't fit in a little box. And that's my point.
Well, earlier in the article, you point out that Edison and Jesus made a good point of differentiating the religion and spirit.
He said emphatically, religion is all bunk.
Yeah.
Then he turns right around and the other end says, I know this world is ruled by infinite intelligence. Everything that surrounds us, everything that exists, proves that there are infinite laws behind it. There can be no denying this fact. It is mathematical in its precision. You know, now here's a, come on, Edison, what are you saying? You sound like a religionist.
Really? Do you think so?
You know, well, sure, infinite intelligence, isn't that what that called God?
Yeah, but there's a difference between religion and spirituality, isn't there?
Well, absolutely. I'm claiming you who wants to be together with everything, we are one, and I say it, but I'm saying there's a separation here.
Mm.
We're back to which God are you talking about? Are you talking about spirit that created everything, or are you talking about infinite intelligence that runs the physical universe? According to Jesus, who operates the physical universe, that which we can see, whether our eyes are aided by instruments or not, is the quote small g god of this world, which he also called Satan. I'm saying that, wait a minute, religionists and scientists of the ilk of our dear friend Edison are saying the same things. They're caught in the same thought processes that there is this, quote, infinite intelligence, this, you know, one eternal being, is the way some religionists would say it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you pinned Edison down or the guy from Stanford down, I don't know what they really, really call it, but they really do believe in an infinite design and an infinite intelligence. They just can't handle the way religionists box it, and neither can I. But I can't handle the way they box it either, other than they are explaining the physical universe, including quantum mechanics, which is physical.
Right.
But we get into a certain part of quantum, which is mind-boggling and exposed by the slit theory, double slit theory, which proves that two particles can be at the same place, or one particle can be in two different places at once.
So is there an encompassing statement that you believe this article suggests?
It suggests that if you're locked into one perspective, one way of looking at something, you ought to take a look around. You know, I was given one night a vision of God's view and man's view. And what God's view looks like is a big piece of pie that you cut up into all these slices, and each slice has one little thought pattern of a man. And you can take religion and, for example, the stuff that you and I have come out of, the law versus grace, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, the law versus grace are two opposite sides of this pizza pie, and the points touch each other, but both sides can't hear the other side. And God sees the whole thing. He sees every piece of that pie. That's his view. That's the God view. We're hung up in our little views.
Right.
And it's the same thing with science and religion. Oftentimes I've said, and I believe it's an inspired statement, that religion and anti-religion are opposite sides of the same coin.
Right.
And, you know, and you look at science, you look at how, I mean, quantum mechanics has had to drag astrophysicists into the 21st century. I mean, very reluctantly. They just weren't going to budge. They thought it was all hooey. Einstein, who's the father of quantum mechanics, thought it was all rot and tried to disprove it, you know. And you know, just amazing stuff. So, and why? See, here you got one of the hugest, biggest brains in history who is locked into his own frame of reference. And you watch all these new guys that are coming along, and they're so much broader in their thinking.
Mm.
And many of them are thinking in terms of spiritual stuff being valid. I just wish that people who have religious views could also get that broad. And maybe I'm as narrow as they are. I don't know. What do you think?
I think that at some point in everyone's life, they turn off either their desire or their interest in expansion of whatever the subject matter is, whether it be religion, science, I don't know. I think that at some point in everybody's life, they get to a point where they go, well, I retire. Nothing's going to change now, and I guess I've learned all there is to learn, so I may as well just retire. And they mentally step back and, in essence, die from continuing to expand or grow their knowledge or understanding or experimentation with whatever subject matter is, and they fade away. I think you can be 75, I think you can be 25, and you could do the same thing. You can shut yourself off to possibilities.
You know who my model is, Ryan?
Who?
Your grandmother.
My grandmother. Oh, I love that woman.
Well, you remember what she said? She says, as you get older, your mind gets sharper. Isn't that what you quoted her as saying?
I did.
And she kept honing it by reading all kinds of stuff. I hope that that's what we're doing with not only this, with the podcast and the website. I hope that we're doing it by virtue of everything that our purpose is, which is to get people to go to Dad. There's a source that has all kinds of attributes, the loving parent attribute, but has such creativity that we can't even fathom. And stuff is going on out in the universe that is just wonderful and amazing.
Yeah.
And the source knows it all. And we know it all by being connected. Have you ever known or have you ever experienced out-of-body or in-body transport?
Yeah. Well, out-of-body, yeah. I think I expressed that in the previous podcast. The very first time I meditated at a very young age, I had a book. I started practicing the meditation practices prior to finishing the book, and towards the end of the book they talked about out-of-body experiences, but of course I never read that part. I got the out-of-body experience before I came around to reading it, and it scared the daylights out of me. I immediately woke up, and I never meditated again for, oh, I don't know, 10 years.
You're making reference to Jose Silva.
That's right.
Silva Mind Control,
right? Yeah. Jose Silva's book. Well, the reason why I wanted to learn to meditate was because it suggested on the back cover that if I meditated, I could do with less sleep. And I wanted to, as a young man, I wanted to burn the candle at both ends. I wanted to stay out late and party with my friends, and I wanted to get up early and be fresh for work. I thought I'd learn to meditate.
Well, the point, and again, I'm not touting Leapfrog, though everybody that seriously read it seems to have their mind expanded a bit. It's one of the things that I dealt with, and I thought very effectively, because I was inspired to do so. You thought so too, I thought, didn't you?
I did.
Am I?
Yeah. Yeah. And that, I flippantly refer to that as my first out-of-body experience, but the truth is I've had many since.
Yeah.
And well, most of them have been in conjunction with meditating or fasting or some form of spiritual activity.
Yeah, but the same scientists who are now seeing it as a holographic paradigm would have poo-pooed it 10 years ago.
Right.
Now they see the possibility and they understand it. And that's kind of exciting.
Very exciting. And I think the future holds so much more as long as there are a few scientists and spiritualists willing to expand their viewpoint.
Yeah, I don't know where you draw the line with that. I draw the line when Dad or Spirit tells me it's harmful. I've had enough exposure to clinical psychology and psychiatry that I know what can be dangerous from a psychological and from a spiritual perspective, but I don't know where my own, shall we say, being frightened like you were frightened of your first out-of-body experience. When you're frightened by those things, and I confess, I have been too, I don't know where fear comes in. I guess what I'm saying is I approach some of these things consciously. Not that I'm afraid I'm going to get carried away by some ridiculous wind of doctrine, but, if you know the truth, the truth will set you free. That's a term Christian scientists are touted, a word of Jesus. And it does, because what happens if you're saturated with truth, but I'm not using it from a doctrinal position, I'm using it from a position of being connected to our spirit parent source. And if I'm saturated there, then the junk shows up for itself. And it may not be junk, In a universal sense, may only be junk for me. But at that particular moment, it's junk for me. I don't judge it. I just say, nope, this is not for me. It's like what we tell people on this website. This is not for you. We love you anyway, but you probably ought to go away until you can handle some of the crazy stuff we say.
We do cover some crazy stuff in this podcast and webpage and blog. What kind of crazy stuff do you have coming up for us in the next article?
next step in Volume 6, an easy experiment you can use that will leave no doubt in your mind that everything really is possible when you believe enough. The experiment title is The Experiment Which Easily Proves That You Really Can Have Whatever You Want. Quantum Mechanics, Newtonian Physics, and Spiritual Healing, Volume 6.
Well, I want to try that experiment. I better go check my email right now. I got to test this one out.
Well, that's all I sent you was just the title.
Oh, teaser. Well, I look forward to the article.
Okay, sign off.
Love you, buddy.
Hey, love you too. Bye.
Bye.